You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, let's do it live on a Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. I am merely Bo. He is the great Z.
Were you making fun of my color?
No, I just loved it. I've never seen anybody print. So you printed out Chris Sims' top 40 quarterback countdown, which he does every year, and except you printed it in full color. Like it's a list, but you printed it in full color.
That was what he. So that's how he posted it.
The entire right, but you have an option when it comes to print. Like you could print color
not
or black
all.
And white.
Yes, about, you do have an option.
I'm all about you.
At least it's not landscape. Let's just be happy. That
can you imagine like the printer levels after this thing was done for those on the stream? Like the amount of it's every color in the rainbow.
You're it darn is. Right. I printed three of them too.
By the way, did you guys see the Saints helmets they're gonna wear?
Yeah, the blacks.
Yeah,
I like that. So where does that mean? Does that mean it's full go for everybody?
Yeah, it's full go. You can wear the second helmet. Everybody's full go. So like the Falcons have the
red.
They're wearing that red one which is gorgeous.
Beaut.
That thing's gorgeous. So they're wearing that one. The Saints, I think, are only the second one to announce theirs.
We need a white.
Ours in a white would be unbelievable. Yeah, that's the one you got to wear. You wear that with the 75th anniversary uniform. Now we're talking. That's it. What do you got going on?
Being harassed nonsense.
By who? I mean, we're doing a show. Who's coming at you?
A former friend of ours.
A former
current
friend,
but
former
business associate of
former
ours.
Associate.
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
Tell him to answer my messages.
Basically, he asked me if I had seen this new music video that had come out. He says it's so great, and I was like, no. Can you send me the link to it? And then he sent me the link to it, and I said thanks. And then I was gonna watch it in the next commercial.
Time, sure. Yeah.
And then he said basically to piss off.
Sure.
Not as nice a term.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? And he's like, don't you know Google exists? And I was like, I'm doing a show right now. Like, I
no
just
one
said
knows
link.
What we do. No one.
Like, he should know.
This sneaks
this
up on
individual
everybody.
Should know.
Of all the people. He
of all
should
the people.
Know.
He should be aware of
yeah, should be aware of the on. Timing of all
yeah.
of this. Yeah.
Yep.
It should be. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just laughed at the matter of factness. That was pretty.
Yeah.
It was pretty humorous. So I got to tell you something. What's up?
That's right.
There she goes. Allison walked by. It's like when they talk about minicamp ending.
Yeah.
I feel like this rivals the Exodus, rivals the opening scene of Dazed and Confused when School's Out for Summer is playing and just like tearing out of the building.
Yeah.
Like, they gone.
I think
they are gone.
It's gone. I would say it's a lot like, I would say this is, in the words of Buford T. Justice, sort of baby stuff alongside of what next week's going to look like. Next week, it's going to be the three of us in here on an island.
Yeah. I think we're good for another week.
4 days, it sounds like.
On the sales
4 days.
Site. Because then
the next week when it's like just you and me.
Yeah, because then I'm gone.
I was going to say, that's the week that everybody piggybacks the free week off with.
Oh, they stack it.
Yeah.
Stack it up. Okay.
Like
so
Sarah's doing.
I don't mean to stack. I've never stacked four. I have no history of stack.
I'm not going to hold it against you. You should stack.
I'm not holding it.
I don't want to stack.
I did it last year.
No, I think it's fine. I have no problem with it. I think it's appropriate. I would do it.
By the way, Simze, as you know, but I'm sure letting the people know. So Simze is in Wyoming.
Yeah.
And you told him to go where?
$1 million Cowboy Bar, I believe.
And
is
he said
I told
it was
to go in
the
Jackson.
Greatest ever.
Yeah, of course.
So they were actually, I was asking him, so they were supposed to go from Montana into Yellowstone and spend some time in Yellowstone and then to Jackson. And Yellowstone got like washed out because you were talking about the rivers. But literally like their plans were washed out.
No, yes, legitimately it's washed out. There were two ways into the park from the north, from Montana into Wyoming. Both are closed. The park is closed.
There you go.
You cannot go.
Right.
And it's not like it's Wally World. Like, this is just nature.
This is nature.
Like it's
Natura.
And the nature is closed.
Yeah.
That's how bad the natural disaster is in the home state. The governor of the home state, not doing very well. He was in Tuscany while all of this was going on, and was not in the fastest hurry to get back to the home state. So people are not thrilled about the fact that he's not there for disaster relief.
He's in Tuscany.
Isn't that
like
why
the
you
entire
have a
southern
governor,
part,
though?
That he had some line about how he's traveling with security. I'm like, brother, settle down. You're the governor of Montana. Let's relax a little bit.
He's in Tuscany.
Settle down.
My wife just had me watch the other day. She really wanted to watch Under the Tuscan Sun. So we watched it.
Jeez.
Old school Diane Lane.
Good husband job out of you.
It was. I felt like a very.
Really?
Yeah,
blowing
really,
up out of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
you got to step up every now and then.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it because it was Italy, and I like Italy. So I didn't mind some of the.
I would say, how about we watch Rome instead? You want to watch Rome? Let's watch that.
Let's watch Gladiator.
Fine.
Yeah.
Let's watch that. You can see Italy.
Yeah, I don't think that would have worked.
Did you guys make it last night with the Warriors?
I made it until they were up 15 with 3 minutes to go, and then I was like, okay, it's over. It's officially over. They cut it to 6, and then the Warriors are just like, 3-3, layup, 3, good night, Irene.
Yeah, that was it. Gibbe, did you make it? Did you watch
any
of it? I
haven't watched a minute.
Really?
Wow.
Nope. I hate both teams.
No. I liked both teams. I didn't feel like I could have a loser from a fan standpoint.
Yeah.
I was, however, if I must say, I felt like the Celtics' inability to take care of the basketball, 22 turnovers in this one.
It's pretty glaring.
And they had, 19 the game before? That's not championship basketball. And hence, they are not the champions. But that's not championship basketball. And I felt like Steph finally got the MVP that he deserved, finished with 34-7-7. He took care. They did take care of the basketball. You know, when you're plus 7 in the turnover differential, 7 extra possessions for a team that good, forget it.
It does a couple of things. I think, number one, to me, this closes the door on the AAUification of the NBA that LeBron was a big part in starting when he left here, right? Where, hey, we got to have 3 superstars. Well, what we've seen in the last couple of years is what you actually need is you need to draft and you need to develop your own guys. Because what you need to win championships nowadays is incredible depth. That 2 superstars or even 3 superstars is not enough. That you need 7 or 8 guys who can play because guys are getting hurt at a rapid rate. And if you lose one of those superstars, you lose everything.
Yep.
And so if you look at the teams that have been really good the last couple of years, they're teams that have been built by great organizations who drafted and developed. The Warriors have got to be the smartest organization in the NBA by a pretty distant margin. The idea that they were able to say, okay, Durant, you didn't want to be here, but not take it personal and just say, well, hey, I tell you what, why don't we do a sign and trade and you guys give us D'Angelo Russell back? And then, oh, yeah, but he can't play with – everyone said, oh, yeah, well, he can't play with Clay and Steph. Well, that's fine, but he can for a year while Clay's hurt, and then we can use him to get Wiggins, who's actually a younger, more athletic Iguodala. And now you popped him right in the middle of
perfect
it.
Perfect.
And away you go. So, but they drafted all those guys. Like, none of those guys, they're not some free agent destination. They were once with Durant, but the bulk of that thing was built by their drafting and their developing.
It's amazing when I watched Wiggins, and I think you made a very good point. He was a perfect complement to what they did, and I feel like he's such a perfect kind of role player plus. Like he's
a good three. He's a good third option. Perfect.
I know that we got Love and that all worked out and all of that, but he's a guy that it felt like he could have been a significant piece of a franchise for a significant period of time.
It's funny. I actually had my other occupation pull up the audio of me when they drafted Wiggins and when LeBron came back, and I had the audio. This was my big argument. My big argument at the time was just sit for a year with Wiggins, and then you'll get Love in free agency because Love was going to be free agent the next year. Just deal with it for 1 year and then bring in Love the next year. Now, I don't know if that would have played out, and I don't know if LeBron would have signed off on that. But my theory at the time was now you have LeBron, Kyrie, Wiggins going forward. As Wiggins and Kyrie get older, they play together. LeBron takes a back seat, and you're contenders for a decade. That was the blueprint.
I agree with you.
Now, I don't know. I'm sure LeBron said, I'm not waiting a year. You're not wasting a year. Go get me a guy.
And he also, though, I mean, I think that he's developed as a defensive player from earlier in his career. He's matured in that role. But, you know, you think about who those Cavs teams had to battle. It would have been very useful to have an Andrew Wiggins running around either to allow LeBron to maybe not always have to be on Durant or to, you know, go ahead and take out a Clay in those games. Yeah, it was interesting. And it's funny. And now that he's a Warrior, it's even funny. You could have made the case. I mean, Steph is the MVP, but he was probably the second MVP in the MVP balloting for them in this series.
There's a play. Were they on a 21-0 run in the first half?
That's right, 21-0.
21-0. There was a play in the 21-0 run where Steph has the ball just short of the midcourt line, and Grant Williams is face guarding him. And Grant Williams is face guarding him 40 feet from the hoop. Okay?
He was getting face guarded like every series.
He kicks it to Draymond at the point. Wiggins sets a back screen on Williams. Curry doesn't flash to the rim, though. Instead, he V-cuts and backs up like he's going to get the ball. In the meantime, they do a switch, so now Williams is on Wiggins. Wiggins jets to the hoop. Draymond finds him for a layup. It's all possible because you're face guarding Steph and Clay from 40 feet, and there's nobody anywhere.
Yep.
The spacing, people, it's not just the shooting. It's the fact that you have to guard them 40 feet from the hoop.
Everywhere.
It allows for everything
to
move. So he's the perfect complement to it. The other thing that I think that it did is, you know, from a Warriors standpoint, this kind of hit home with me. I was thinking four titles in 8 years. So the most impressive thing from an NBA in my lifetime, I wasn't alive, obviously, for the Celtics, all their championships in the 60s and all that stuff, but was the Lakers winning 5 and 10.
Yep.
Lakers won 5 titles in 10 years in the 80s. They did so against Dr. J's Sixers, Bird's Celtics, and one against the Pistons of Isaiah Thomas, and then played for another one in 91 against the Bulls with Michael. So they were in the mix for 11, 12 years straight and won 5 of them. This is there.
Oh, yeah.
They're right there. And guess what? It ain't ending anytime soon. They can easily keep this up, and Steph and Clay can transition to, as they age, just spot up shooters playing around these other guys. By the way, they didn't even have Wiseman.
At all.
None.
Zero. The amazing thing to me about it is those Lakers teams that you're talking about, right? This Cavs team, they did that in the era where they never had LeBron James. They never had the best player in the league, like the consensus best player in the league.
You mean these
Warriors?
These Warriors, correct. No, they did not.
So the Lakers, you could have made a case early that Kareem was still the best player in the league, and you could have made a case that Magic was the best player in the league.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, Steph would be in those discussions,
right,
but he was never, first of all, big enough or to be like those guys, and they've done it anyway. And they did it with Durant and without Durant. Two with, two without.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it validates.
And Steve Kerr is an awesome coach, and I thought that it was funny, I was talking with the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, yesterday out at First Energy Stadium, and he asked me, once they had lost game 5, if I watched some of the post-game stuff, and I said, I did not. These games are just way too late, and it was on Monday, and no. And he said they showed Kerr went into the locker room, and he was like, great job, everybody, today. But he goes, enough self. We're winning this in Boston. Like, we're winning this in the next game. Get your minds right. And everybody was, like, losing their all getting excited. But he's like, that's what we're going to do. We're not coming back. There's no game seven. We're going in winning this. He goes, I want to win it in Boston in front of those fans. I want to break their hearts, basically.
Yeah. So
and that's what they went out and did.
Second time a team has won a championship in Boston
against
the Celtics.
Yeah. Was the other one the 87 or 85 Lakers?
85 Lakers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. So
pretty impressive.
I think it's impressive. The other thing that's impressive, and you might know the numbers, maybe you talked about this morning. What were the Spurs totals with Popovich and Duncan? But there was a huge gap, right? Wasn't it like
it's even? Yeah. So they won the two. Don't they have four? Or do they have
that's
five?
It's four or five, and it's
yeah, because they have
two eras.
David Robinson and Duncan.
Yep.
Then they have Duncan, Parker, Ginobili.
Yep.
And then they have Duncan as like a. And then Ginobili and Kawhi, when they beat LeBron. I think they may have five. I feel like they may have five. I think they won two with Duncan and Robinson, two with Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker as the fulcrum, and then one with Kawhi as the main, with Duncan as kind of an ancillary with Parker
and
Ginobili.
Yeah, 99, 03, 05, 06, and 14.
Yeah. That's an incredible distance.
99, hold on, what did you say?
A 15-year difference.
From the last one.
To the first.
2014 was the last one.
Okay, but you run off the four that you ran in a row.
99, 03,
05,
07, 06. Or 06. Yeah.
That should be 07, shouldn't it?
That's five and...
That's four and eight years, isn't it? 99 to 07?
Yeah, that would be.
I feel like they...
So that's the third time that's happened?
Hold on. That is not...
Jordan won six and 8
years. I was
going to
say, it wasn't 06. It was 07 against the Cavs.
07, yeah.
99, 03... 05, 07, 14.
Yeah, because they won it every other year, 03, 05, 07. They were, because the Lakers were in there for 04.
But they still also won 4 of 8.
They won 4 and 8, too. Yeah.
And then another 7 years later.
Then won another one.
So it'd be like if the Warriors then win again in like 2029 and Steph Curry is still
in the mix.
A principal.
Because remember, Duncan kind of trained. Remember, he had that one game against Miami in that series where he like was like old Duncan?
Yeah, and one year he was like throwing in a couple threes and doing all kinds of ludicrous stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was.
They should have beaten they should have won two. They should have beaten the Heat twice.
That's the Ray Allen shot.
And, well, it's the Manu miss at the free throw line.
Manu misses, and then Ray Allen gets his tiptoes
never
in.
Never does.
All those Miami fans left. They had the ropes out to celebrate.
And they wouldn't let him come back in.
Right.
And they took out, was it Boris Diaw on that last play? They took out one of their rebounders. Allen's shot wasn't the original shot.
It was after
offensive rebound.
Yeah.
After LeBron missed. I don't want to say maybe Bosch rebounded it.
Bosch kicked it to.
And threw it to the corner to Allen, who
nailed it. Yeah.
And that sent it to OT, if I'm not mistaken. It wasn't like a walk-off winner.
I don't think so. I think that was overtime, too. I think they were. But it was a collapse in that last minute.
Whatever it was, if Ginobili had hit the free throws, I think they win. Yeah.
Yeah. Several things had to happen.
Yeah.
The other thing that I had, it's funny, my wife was watching it, Cleveland Girl, and she has this theory that Steph Curry stinks because he, like, literally stinks because he plays with his mouthpiece.
Oh, okay.
Like the odor.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like there's no chance that that's the case, but I just think it's funny that she does that. And she cannot stand him, can't stand him. And so he hit that three from which appeared to be about 48 feet from the hoop in the third quarter, the one where he did the night-night thing. Or maybe that was in the fourth. And I go, do you still – she goes – I don't even prompt her. She goes, I hate him.
Smart
and I just
woman.
Went like – right,
she's
like,
smart
yeah.
woman.
I thought that's why sports is great. Like that hate transitions on.
Oh man.
I did say, you know, it reminded me of when I was a kid, I hated Larry Bird because I liked the Lakers, and so I hated Bird.
Sure.
But then I remember him in the 90s and like Chuck Person going at him.
Oh god.
And I was like, you go to hell, Chuck Person. Come on, Larry, let's go. And I feel like Larry balled out in that series, and I think they beat Indiana in that series, if my memory serves, in like 91-ish or something like that. But I'd come full circle. Like, it was okay for me to hate him in the 80s, but I'm not letting you hate him.
Yeah.
You don't get to hate Larry Bird.
No.
Chuck Person. You're not having it.
The Rifleman,
yeah. A couple of things. Do I get time to do this real quick?
Yeah, we can come to him later.
All right. Well,
you got coach.
We have coach at 120. That's right. I'm sorry.
The Chuck Person
waiting
was the best, though, when that's the one where Larry was, like, telling him what he was going to do and then doing it. Like, I'm going to take two dribbles to my right and then bust it in your face, and then he would do it. And he's like,
Chuck had some games, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that was – Chuck had some games in that one. All right, coming up next, Coach Stefanski. Minicamp is over. You will hear from him coming up next. We're off and running. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily. Very happy now on this Friday to put a kind of a bow on the offseason program by being joined by our head coach, Kevin Stefanski. And coach, 3 years now with the Browns, three off seasons, the first one that was normal, as it were. As you reflect back, how good was it to have this experience finally with this team?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I really did. You know, as coaches, we want to coach. We want to be out there on the field with the guys. We want to be around them. We want to teach them the systems. And I thought the guys did an awesome job. They really did. And we structured it in a way where we wanted to get our work done, but we wanted to do it in a safe way. And we wanted to compete, but we wanted to compete in a safe way. And I think the coaches and the players did just a really, really nice job of every single day working and having fun. And I think you can do both.
Before we get into the work, and we'll talk about the work that you saw and you know, where you're feeling with this team right now, but let's just talk about the fact that, you know, I was talking to Anthony Walker Jr., and he says it's the first time in 3 years, and obviously he was with the Colts for one of those, but the whole team's been in the locker room. How different has that been, and how is the chemistry? And everybody keeps talking about how this team is closer, and you're getting to see it, I'm sure, but just getting to be together.
Yeah, it's so simple sounding, and I think all of us kind of went through COVID-related things in all of our lives, and the masks and sitting, you know, spacing out from people, and just to walk into that locker room and seeing everybody, you know, locker to locker and elbow to elbow, and seeing people actually share a meal together in the meal room, all these little things that end up being a big thing. And I just think we, as in this building, certainly all of the other buildings, and where we are hopefully as a world, just being around each other and being able to share those things with each other, which just weren't possible the last couple of years.
All right, so let's get now onto the field. Because off the field, it does feel like there's a special camaraderie building amongst this team and a unity, and a lot of the players talked about it, and you hit on it just there. But on the field, this was a passing camp. That's what you kind of called this, OTAs and the mini camp, and we got Joel back, and so you really saw everybody out there for the first time. But the focus was really on those 7-on-7 periods. What did you see in those periods?
Yeah, so to that point, Nathan, it was a passing camp because that's how the rules are structured.
Yeah,
you can't run the ball. You can't have one-on-one drills, which are fun, but when you don't have pads on, they're prohibited. So we just want to be smart about what we do. So 7-on-7, that is the best drill that you can get done in the structure. I think it also fit in what we're trying to accomplish as a team. We wanted to get better in the pass game on offense. We want to be better at defending the pass on defense. So we were able, in the course of every single one of these OTAs and minicamp, to have 2 7-on-7 periods each day. And we focused on 3rd and 4th down and the red zone. And I think for me and for us, you achieve what you emphasize. So we felt like, all right, we got to get better in the pass game, offense, defense. We have to get better in these certain situations. So let's just get in the red zone day one. Let's have a 4th down period day one, and stayed with that throughout so that the guys understand, and we were explicit about this, here are the areas that we want to get better, and here's how we're going to do it.
Well, you talk about situational football. Those are the plays. Those are the. There's a reason 3rd down is the money down in the NFL. There's a reason why you have, quote-unquote, a 4-point play in the red zone, the difference between a touchdown and kicking a field goal. Those are the differences between winning and losing, and obviously that's probably why you chose to emphasize it.
Exactly right. And not to say that 1st and 10 from the minus 25 isn't important. It is, because those normal downs, they come up a lot. They come up the most in football. But the high leverage points on that 4th and 3, on that 3rd and goal from the 6, those are just huge plays. So the more we can work concepts as an offense and get comfortable, the more we as a defense can roll our coverages and mix coverages and move people around, I think it just makes us a more complete team. Now, having said all that, you know, it's we have a mile to go, and we'll take a break here and get back for training camp, and we'll get back to work. But we wanted early in this program to make it known where we feel like we need to get better.
All right. You are out there, you're on the walkie-talkie, you're talking to your quarterbacks, talking to Deshaun, getting the plays in these 7-on-7s, but you're the head coach of this football team. Mm-hmm. Were you pleased? It felt like a very even battle, and not because one side was better, but because you had two very good sides going head-to-head day after day.
Yeah, and that's competition. That's what I love, and you're right. I am calling the play into the offense, but when we make a great play on defense, that fires me up just the same. And there were some incredible defensive moments for us in this offseason program. I thought, you know, when you're having a passing camp and you're in a 7-on-7 drill, the advantage is to the offense. There's no pass rush. Now, obviously, we want to get the ball out. You can't hold the ball forever as a quarterback, but it's an advantage offense drill. And the defense has that mentality of they understand that, and they still want to stop the offense. And I thought particularly that back end, a bunch of those young guys had a really, really strong showing. They were around the ball. They made plays on the ball. They were assignment sound. And I think it shapes up for when we get back to really double down on some of the things we're doing.
And let's just talk about that D in the back end for a second. Denzel's back. You know, Greedy's back. Greg is back. A.J. Green is back. Herb Miller is back. And, of course, you insert M.J. Emerson. Then you go in your safety room. Your top three safeties from a year ago are all back. John, Grant, Ronnie, Rich LeCount back as well. The continuity there. And then in your linebacker room, you know, you look at it and you say, AWOC is back. Jacob Phillips is back. J.O.K. is back. Cox back. The continuity there, it just felt like they were a well-oiled machine. To your point, it's 7-on-7. It's not often that you see the ball not even be able to come out at times, and part of it's because of what they did back there. I bet you're happy that this is a back seven. You don't have to worry about come games, and I think it's going to prepare you pretty well for real games.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know, to that point, number one, with the pass rush that we hope to have and have, the ball comes out quickly versus us. People don't hold the ball very often, so it's important for us to be sticky in coverage and be covering our guys, knowing that ball's coming out. And I think the guys understand that, and Joe and the defensive staff are working very hard to as we design our defense to you know, be an attacking defense, also taking away what teams are doing. But to your first point about continuity, you know, going into last year, we have the same. We were very blessed and fortunate to have the same coaches, but we had so many new players.
Yep.
What I'm excited about going into this year is you have those same coaches into year three, and you have most of those same players going into that year three as well. And I think that's where you can really take off.
All right. I'll single a guy out because I know it's not typically your style, but it just felt like Grant Delpit. And I realize it's his third year, but it's really like being a rookie last year going into your second year. It feels like he has taken a huge leap in his ability to see the field, break on the ball. We saw him get his hands on the ball, a couple picks as well in this camp. What have you seen from Grant and kind of just the way that, you know, that group is just working together?
Yeah, really pleased with Grant's development. And as we all know, he kind of had that lost year. So I count him as a rookie last year. So yep. It's almost like he's a sophomore this year. So excited about the gains that he's made, both physically, mentally, just his ability to play in our defense. He can play the half field. He can play the post. He can play down. Brings a lot of versatility to what we're doing. But he had a really, really strong camp. And I think it starts with he came in incredible shape. He's working really, really hard in the weight room. And that's such a big piece of this. And not to lose sight of that is these guys, everything we do in the meeting room is important. Everything we do on the field is important. But part of it is also work down in the weight room. And the work that these guys do down there is vitally important to our success.
All right, let's flip it over to the offensive side, and obviously a lot to be excited about there, and it starts with your quarterback, Deshaun Watson. It's one thing to go out and to trade for him. It's one thing to watch his pass tape. It's another thing now to have gone through, you know, the 10 OTAs, the 3 days of mini camp with him. What have you learned about your quarterback, and how is that going to allow you to operate this offense in 2022?
Yeah, I think that all is a process. So when we first meet with Deshaun, it was, all right, let's find out what he's comfortable with. Let's watch the tape. Let's talk ball. And then as you get through phase one and phase two, you're really in meetings, and then you're on air on the practice field. And again, it's just trying this. Hey, you like this? We can also do this. It's always constantly evolving and moving. And then as you get into these practices, now you're getting live reps. And we, with those 7-on-7s that we mentioned earlier, we rep the same play over and over and over. You do it from the right hash, you do it from the left hash, you do it out of 12 personnel, you do it out of 11 personnel, just so that it becomes rote memory for all of the guys, but particularly the quarterback. So it's been important for us in this process to constantly tinker, evolve, and then eventually get to and hang our hat on what we feel like we will be moving forward. But that is a process, and it's been some incredible meetings down there with that room. It's been some really good tape to watch with those guys. So I think we had a lot of banked reps from this offseason that will carry with us into training camp.
When you have a guy who is an easy thrower, and it just looks – it does it. It's an easy throw, and it's quick. His release, the time to throw to the ball being out is quick. How does that change, if anything, for you as a play caller and what you can do conceptually?
Yeah, there are certain things that Deshaun does in his game. You mentioned with that quick release, it does allow you to have some – whether you call them RPO or quicker hitting things or quicker hitting play actions, a lot of times in the empty game, the ball comes out, can come out quick, and you can also hold it and have some deeper shot type mentalities. But it is, I've been around a lot of guys that have that ability, and it's really beneficial where you can put the ball in the belly of a running back and then spit it out to the other side as well.
All right, just because it was a fun play and people were talking, and you did it on a day when the media was there, so obviously you didn't mind people seeing it. But if I'm not mistaken, it looked like a kind of an inside fake to Chubb, and then you could have run. I think he handed it to Chubb on the play, but you could have run like almost a triple option with Deshaun and Kareem as his wing there. Is that kind of some of the fun stuff you're able to do with a quarterback who can move like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's really no shortage of those type of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think once we get to playing games, we'll hone in on what we want to be and what we want to look like and those type of things. But there's no shortage of plays in the NFL, in football. And that's the difficult part when you're on the defensive side is trying to you can't stop everything as a defensive coach. You're going to play cover three, you're going to avoid the flats, and then you're going to say, okay, we'll rally and make the tackle. So for us offensively, the flip side of that coin is we want to be multiple enough to make ourselves difficult to defend. So yes, there are some option things you can do. You can do all of it. There's no shortage. So we got to hone in on the things that we want to be good at.
So Chief gets the big deal. He's the man. I know you're excited about it. I thought he did a nice job at the stadium yesterday, especially in that red zone, couple of touchdown passes. That's a hookup that looks like it could be a big one. How do you see his role expanding now that he is kind of the guy? And in an offense where it does feel like the ball's going back to the middle of the field quite a bit, and that's where he lives.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're really fortunate to have Dave and Harrison. Are guys that, you know, they both have different skill sets. I mean, everybody knows Dave is a big body that can run in those seams and could go elevate and pluck the ball. But I think what's so exciting about Dave is, as a young player, we've seen his game develop. With my time with him, and I'm not saying this is credit to me in any way. It's a credit to Dave and the coaches, but he's developed into one of the best blocking tight ends in the game, and that just doesn't happen. So to see his game take a step in that area, I have no doubt that it can take steps in other areas, and it's a matter of working and to get it done. But I do think Dave, as a young player, has room to grow, and he knows that, and I've told him that, and he feels the same way. But with him and Harrison, we're excited about those guys and how we expand our offense and change a little bit of what we're doing.
I think Amari's been exactly what you expect him to be: tremendous route runner, catches everything, consummate professional. But this receiver room, there's a lot of new faces or current faces that you need to elevate. DPJ, Schwartz, you draft David Bell. Felton's even getting some work in there with the slot. I thought Michael Wood has been kind of impressive in the way that he long strides and gets on his DBs. What have you seen from these young guys in the past game and anybody who's kind of really started to take the strides that have you very encouraged?
Yeah, you know, they all did a nice job, and I think really the opinion that matters the most is the quarterback room, and they like throwing to these guys. that's really important. So I think each one of these guys, the quarterbacks trust them. I think they have traits. You think around the league, and there's some great, great pass receivers. And for us, we're really, really excited about the room in total. You mentioned Amari as a guy that's been so productive, and he is, you know, the elder statesman in a really young room, but he is just a pro's pro. So to watch him operate, and he certainly has the trust of the quarterback, but you look at all those young guys, I really feel strongly that we have some important traits in that room, and I do think they're all getting better.
Did he tell your dad to stay away from Jacoby Brissett after the shooting display that he put on at the Cavs facility?
Yeah, Jacoby, so my dad was in town last week, brought him down to the Hall of Fame with us so we could watch practice and kind of hang out with the guys. And he did talk to Jacoby. Jacoby's angling for that 10-day contract.
I bet he is. It's a pretty good display.
He tried to get the Cavs. He tried to get Kobe Altman and JB to sign him last week when we were down there at the Cavs, and now he's working on the Pistons. So he's trying, and I will give him credit. He does have a pretty sweet stroke.
Yeah, it looked very pure, very pure. All right, real quickly, special teams, a lot of overhaul there. This is your first chance to get a look at those guys. I know we can't really do the returns and with Jakeem and the coverage, but you can get the fundamentals down. But one thing we can watch is Cade York kick the football. And I think the one from 50 yesterday was good from 70 with everybody screaming and hooting and hollering at him. Mm-hmm. What do you kind of make of your young kicker and just kind of the punting competition and overall teams in general?
Yeah, I think Cade has done a really, really nice job this spring. And every opportunity he's gotten to kick, whether it's here in a team setting or going down to the stadium as the battery of Charlie and the holders, I think he's done a nice job. He's going to work really hard. I think he's a talented young kid, and we're excited about the future with him. You know, he's going to miss a kick. It's that's kind of the nature of that position. But we're excited about where he is physically and mentally.
All right. Any plans for the summer?
I do. I have lots of plans. I'm not going to share them with you, but No, I'm just kidding. We'll be with the family. We'll be here for a couple weeks. Kids are in about 1,000 camps, so I'm, you know, driving everybody, driving Miss Daisy right now. And then we'll get away from here. We'll get down the shore, which is kind of our happy place down in the Jersey Shore for a couple weeks, and then recharge that battery and get ready to go.
I can see out there fist pumping and clapping.
Not
on
that
the shore.
Jersey Shore.
Oh, okay,
no.
All right.
Beautiful
right.
Beaches.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, appreciate it.
What's a perfect Father's Day look like for you?
You as well. Perfect Father's Day. A nap with some golf on is probably where it ends. But we'll hang out. It's, you know, with my kids, anything you get to do with them is a bonus. So whether it's a baseball game or going out to breakfast or going to church, whatever it is, we'll make sure we're having some fun.
All right, Coach. Thanks so much for the time, and enjoy your summer. And I know that you will enjoy that, but I'm sure you can't wait to get back here and get started on this season.
Yeah, we're excited about it. We'll take this break, and I think we've all earned it, and then we'll get ready to go come July.
All right, thanks so much for the time, Coach. We'll be back with more on Cleveland Browns Daily right after this.
Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Are your business operations suffering from internal communication breakdowns? Bo here for my friends at EOX Vantage. They're data scientists, also business operations experts. Your EOX Vantage team helps you build a streamlined communication system that brings together your email, chat, intranet, announcements, CRM into one clear flow. Your people, including those who work remotely, gain a centralized hub that encourages collaboration. So there's no more discontinued communication methods that leave team members out of the loop or not on the same page. It's real everyday business problems that are solved with my friends at EOX Vantage. See how other business owners are getting everyone on the same page by visiting EOXVantage.com. We had a bunch of announcements at the end of the show yesterday, including the training camp schedule, which is back at the CCMC. That is in full. 11 free open practices. They begin on Saturday, July 30th. All sessions available to fans beginning on that 30th at 2 o'clock. Gates open an hour beforehand. Tickets available to the public starting on Thursday, June 23rd at 10 a.m. Season ticket members will receive a special 48-hour window to reserve their tickets for training camp practices. That starts on the 21st of June. Each account can register up to 4 tickets for an individual session. Go to ClevelandBrowns.com for more information. This is going to be special. It's going to be here before we know it, buddy.
It is, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun for the Browns fans. We have more space this year. The Browns bought up all those houses that were lining basically the training camp practice field, so they're going to be able to move things out, get more seating, get more room for activations, and I think it's going to be a pretty cool experience. So it's going to be unlike any training camp we've ever seen at the Cross Country Mortgage campus, because there's going to be more room, more of it. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun, and I look forward to seeing everybody out here, because it's your first chance to see this team and see what all the excitement's about, see what all the fuss is about, and I think that's a pretty cool thing as well.
If you haven't been here since last year, you're not going to believe how much space there is compared to what
– huge.
You know, that wall on the west side along the back side of that practice facility, most of the fans were on the east side. Now it'll be on that west side. That west side wall is gone.
Gone.
So you're going to have – a lot of room.
All the room.
For the training camp. And the pups will be back, right? This could be it, boys. Could be puppy acquisition time for me at that
way.
We've reached that
just
point.
Just in time for football season and back to school, which means you're doing all the work.
Ah, no. The blonde. She's raised three young gentlemen. Why not raise a puppy?
Inside, I think she would say, I think she might say back, I've raised three young gentlemen. Why not you raise a puppy?
She knows how. I don't. I mean, look, I'll be coaching. I'll be doing these shows. I can't do it. I won't be there.
Oh, baby.
Going to be fun. I look forward to that.
What is the name of this dog?
Roger. Mr. Roger Sterling.
Okay.
From Mad Men.
Of course. Yeah. That's known already. That's
known.
The kids are okay with it? I feel like they're not going to be
okay
with
it.
That. They do love it.
Love it. Couldn't be more excited for Bootsy. Can't wait to yell at Roger. I can't wait for my wife to yell at Roger. I think that's going to be incredible. Hearing her scream Roger over and over again is amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Boy or a girl, it's going to be a Roger.
Doesn't matter. What difference does it make? Somebody said to me, well, you got to get a female dog because female dogs are better than male dogs in terms of behavior. And I said, okay, fine. Get a female dog. Well, you can't name it Roger. Why? What does it care?
Right. It has no idea.
What does it care? What it's called?
I used to get a lot of pushback.
Can't do that.
I wanted to name my female dog Ralph. I just thought it would be funny.
Of course it's funny.
Yeah, Ralph's a great name.
Dog doesn't care.
Yeah.
My grandpa was Ralph.
Really?
It's a great name. It's a great name.
Yeah.
I had a grandpa Ralph, Uncle Archie, Archbishop. What a strong name. Pretty good.
It's not far away from Arch Manning right there.
Not. Archbishop. No, yeah. Not at all. All right, some other promotions from the team here. We had officially announcing the hiring of Catherine. I'm not sure on Catherine this pronunciation. Do you guys have it here in the building? Last name? Raish?
That's what I would have gone with.
Yeah, I went Raish. Assistant General Manager and VP of Football Operations. Catherine joins us from Philly, where she oversaw all areas of football ops and player
Burgundy,
personnel.
You missed something there.
No, I didn't. Including pro and college scouting, contract management, player staff development, and football research. Here she will help manage the day-to-day operations of the team and contribute to all strategic roster decisions across player personnel and football ops. Football ops verticals.
Yeah.
I don't like talk of verticals.
Fine. You can leave that out.
Yeah, I should have. My fault.
Yeah.
She's the NFL's highest-ranking female woman football executive. Also, Glenn Cook. We know Glenn. Glenn I know very, very well.
Yeah.
New title for him, Assistant General Manager and Vice President of Player Personnel. This is a pretty cool story of both Andrew Berry and Glenn, because Glenn was brought in here with John Dorsey, with that group from the Packers, brought in here. And when those guys, when that administration moved on and Andrew Berry came in, Andrew talked with a lot of the guys and was really open with all of them about the ones that he wanted to stay. Glenn liked it. He liked Glenn. They had worked together previously, and now all of a sudden Glenn's one of the fastest risers in the business. That's awesome.
It is awesome, and Glenn is now in the role that, you know, Kwesi was in, and Kwesi went on to become general manager of the Vikings, and the Browns are creating, I think, a general manager pipeline. Glenn got a couple interviews this year. I think it is likely Glenn will end up being a general manager in the NFL sooner rather than later, and I think Catherine Raish has an opportunity to be the first female general manager in the NFL, and it wouldn't surprise me. And the Browns have not only produced this pipeline, but they've produced this pipeline of candidates that, were they to become GMs, they would receive 2 third-round picks if either Glenn or Catherine becomes a GM, as they did with Kwesi. And they got one of them this year. Guess what? Turned out to be David Bell.
Yeah.
They still have another one from Kwesi going to the Minnesota Vikings. So the Browns are not only positioned well because they have very, very talented people. And listen, it's got to be a talented person that gets to become a GM.
Yeah.
But they're also in line for this pipeline that is increasing the diversity amongst the leadership in the National Football League. And they can receive a draft pick benefit for doing this.
It's a win-win. Yeah. ESPN's Jake Trotter regarding Denzel Ward, who left practice yesterday with a lower leg injury. Quote, he is told Denzel Ward should be good to go for the start of training camp after leaving minicamp practice yesterday with a left ankle foot injury.
Yeah, I've talked to
people
that would absolutely know, and he will be good to go for training camp.
Very good news there. You'll hear from Jadeveon Clowney coming up next. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
If a car, truck, or motorcycle accident caused you injury, call the injury lawyers at 1-800-ELK-OHIO for a free case review. Elk and Elk is a proud partner of your Cleveland Browns. Now here's edge rusher Jadeveon Clowney at the podium from yesterday. Let's have a listen.
You off the chain, you put me on the spot. Make way more plays than I did last year, more sacks, more TFLs, and just try to get it going. What did you got for me?
Are you coming to my birthday party?
That's the thing, man. I want to. I got a camp Saturday, man. But I definitely want to get down there and fuck with my boy, Coop, man. You just told me that I got here, Coop, yesterday. You picked me on the spot. Man.
JD, what's your vibe with your second year with this team?
That's pretty laid back to me. Yeah, it's pretty laid back, man. I think we get along well. It's a good group. Very young team. Hell, I'm one of the oldest ones on here. That's the weirdest thing now, but it's a young team, and we have a lot of fun together. I have a lot of fun out here with these guys. And that was my biggest part of coming back, too. I had a lot of fun with them last year.
Yeah.
And
can you tell if it's a better team yet?
I think so. Of course. Like I said, we was good on defense. Like, we picked in some new pieces on the offense and defense, and I just feel like we're a better team this year than we was last year.
And Anthony Walker said after you signed, like, you texted him, just kind of texted him super.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like I told him we was a couple pieces away last year, a couple plays away. If I come back, I'm chasing it. So the same thing I told Miles, man, we got to chase that Super Bowl. I ain't coming here just to win 8-9 games. I want to chase the Super Bowl. And I think we got a shot. Just keep going, pit it together this year and see where it go.
When you're making your decision year by year, does it ever matter about the offensive personnel or what that offense looks like before you make that decision?
It did this year because I told him I was all about where my boy Deshaun was going. When I talked to him, I said I played with him, and he kept us off the field a lot. And I was like, wherever you go, I know you're going to keep us off the field. You put up a lot of points, put us in rush and rushing situations instead of having to stop the run all the time. And I just wanted to go play with him and see what I can do with him again.
Dave, what can you and Miles do to help the young pieces you guys have in the interior maximize
them? I mean, just show them how we've been doing it, just how we work. How we do our thing out there during the week. It all happened during the week. We put a lot of work in during the week. We work hard during practice. We run around hard. We don't take plays off. And I think when they see that, how we work, and they see like the older guys doing, they're going to just pick up off of it, which they do pretty well now.
So if Deshaun would have ended up in Atlanta, you would have tried to get there?
I probably would have. I probably would have followed him there. Who knows? But he ended up here. So we here now. That's over with. Let's go.
A few more for Jadavion.
Chasing now. We chasing this.
I mean, if there's a possibility he won't have the whole 17 games.
That's all right.
How do you feel about that?
Like I said, we got a good defense. We can hold it together. I think we can hold it. We did good last year, and we was banged up on offense all over the place. And I think the defense played well for what we had going on. And we got the same defense back, a couple pieces, additional pieces. So we're going to be all right.
How big an upgrade is that at quarterback if he's on the field?
I ain't gonna get into that because my boy Bake, that's my guy, you know, and I like Bake, good person, great person. So I'm just glad to be here back here, you know, we're doing my thing. So
hey, you know Deshaun better than anyone here probably. How do you think he's handled all this?
That's a lot of pressure. I told him that's a lot of pressure for what he's dealing with, but for him to just handle the situation the way he's doing, I think he's doing a good job, man. He don't say much, he come here and work every day. He don't let it bother him, mess up his job or work, you know. Dealing with it well, so I hope he just keep doing it, taking care of the way he's doing it, and I hope the best for my quarterback.
Are you keeping in touch with him though about that? You know, checking in on him.
That's his personal business. I don't get into that. Okay. I only football.
I just thought you might be.
I think it's enough out here in the world going on. I don't even have to ask him what's going on. They put it all out there, so I try not to ask him about it. I'm sure he don't want to talk about.
Well, no, I was just checking to see if he's okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I try to stay out of it. But
yeah, okay.
Keep it professional. That's my guy though.
Jadavion Clowney for NFLPA president.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I know what you're trying to do there. Not going to play that game.
Don't believe I'm going to take that bait either.
Nope.
The Bath Authority can give you the bathroom of your dreams, and you can transform your current bathroom into a custom bath for a spa-like experience. Let the Bath Authority make it a reality for you at a fraction of the cost of the competitors. The Bath Authority is Cleveland's premier bath and shower remodeler. They have expert factory-trained installers. You give them a call now, $500 off your next custom bath or shower remodel. That number is 216-220-8399 or go to thebathauthority.com. It's where affordability meets quality. The largest selection of bath projects are all made in the United States. If you're looking for a tub-to-shower conversion, they can help you there. Simply put, superior products with expert installers. It's thebathauthority.com. $500 off your next custom bath or shower remodel at the number 216-220-8399 or go to thebathauthority.com. We've got Higher or Lower. We've got Ask CBD. Final hour of the week coming up next. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
I love this tweet from Greg Newsom 7 minutes ago. Season can't come soon enough. He's ready.
Greg Newsom
2-0 is ready.
Brandon Lynch together in that photo.
B. Lynch.
Love it.
Legend.
B. Lynch.
A lot of bad advice out there about gambling, from secret methods to picking lottery numbers to betting big when you're on a roll. The miss can lose you money, get you in a lot of trouble. So before you wager, find out what's real and what isn't at keepitfunohio.com. Before we get to higher or lower, where are we at the U.S. Open? A Callum Tarran is your leader at 4-under?
4-under through 6.
And 1-under on the day. The low round of the day is Scottie Scheffler, among others. Sam Burns, Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler is 3-under on his round and 3-under for the tournament. What will the number be at the end of today? It's currently at 4. No one's doing much scoring.
What's going to win the tournament?
No. At the end of today,
today,
what's the number?
That'll be the leader?
Yeah.
5.
5.
Yeah. 6.
And you think so?
I don't think it's going to continue. Like, I think the tournament is going to end. I think it's going to end in single digits.
Like 6.
Like, I don't
7.
Think it's going to like 12.
Oh, No. I assume that place will get harder and harder. I guess as they're having the heat we had the last couple of days, that they'll have it today and tomorrow. And if they get this breeze that we've had, that place is going to be hard as a rock. Well, the stuff's going to roll like crazy.
So, you know the saying, when it's breezy, swing easy.
Yeah.
They literally just showed 13 green. And they have a hose plugged in, and they are watering between groups coming up.
Yeah, see.
I'm not so sure that's not a competitive disadvantage for others, but – or a competitive advantage for other groups, but they are literally watering holes and watering greens.
That surprises me that they would be doing that.
Well, they've done that before at the U.S. Open because they worry about them burning
burn
up.
Them out. Yeah, they don't want to burn because they're cut so tight.
Yeah, but you burn them out, so you have to do it. The water's got to evaporate as soon as it hits.
Yeah.
You know, it has to. All right, time for a little higher low. Oh, go ahead.
Real
you
quick.
Do you have a note?
A quick little note. Jalen Hurts, quarterback of the Eagles, one that's relevant because we're about to get into this talking quarterbacks, has filed a trademark application for Hurts So Good.
Come on.
The filing made on June 13th indicates that Jalen Hurts intends to launch a Hurts So Good brand of clothing.
Boy, you better not suck.
Come on, baby.
You're putting that stuff
out
there.
So good.
John Mellencamp.
The Cougar.
How about the fact that they made him be the Cougar? Like, John Mellencamp, they felt wasn't enough. So they had to make him be John Cougar.
Wait, so that really wasn't part of his?
No.
They just said, no, you need
no,
like
no, he's pissed off about it, in fact. Like, no, they made him be John Cougar. John Cougar Mellencamp.
Why?
I have no idea, because record labels are idiots. So they had to be John Cougar. So as soon as he could get rid of the Cougar, he did.
But it was always John Cougar Mellencamp. He was never.
No,
they never.
They made him be the. His Cougar has nothing to do with him.
I got that. But I'm saying he never was just.
No.
I can understand if they went and you said John Mellencamp. What's a Mellencamp? Like watermelons go and hang out in RVs? Let's throw a cougar. If he just went to John Cougar, I'm saying, period. Like, I could understand. Like, maybe I could see that.
But then he kept the Mellencamp in?
Right.
You imagine if they were like, listen, before you replace.
What if it was like John Panther? Like, how'd they come up with Cougar?
Before you replace Deke, this last name's Gurz. It's not quite enough. We need a little panache to it. So you are now going to be Nathan Jaguar Segura.
Listen, I don't know if you're aware or not, but my actual middle name is Dragomir. So if we're
going to
let's just go Dragomir.
Dragomir Segura.
Just Dragomir.
Yeah.
I feel like Dragomir is a one name.
That's one. Yeah, that you don't need anything else.
No, that says everything you need to know. Or as Chase Winovich calls me, the Dragon.
The Dragon.
There are three people, celebrity-wise, that I've met that are the biggest holes on the planet. John Cougar, John Cougar Mellencamp. Whatever you would like to call him.
He's at the top?
He is number two
number
on the
two.
List.
Okay.
But I will say this, one of the top five concerts that I have ever
He's
seen.
He's great show.
Unbelievable entertainer.
Yes.
But just
How did he
biggest...
offend you? How was he slightly discourteous?
We had a meet and greet
when
I worked on the music side of things. And we had 10 winners and their guests, 20 people. Refused, would not shake anyone's hand.
I don't blame him.
Didn't want to interact with anybody.
Same.
We said, we're going to do a group picture.
I would have been so nice.
To look at the camera. Every picture taken, he's looking up, down, sideways, down at his shoes. I'm like, well, this has just been pointless, man.
Awesome.
These people paid a lot of money.
Sure,
like,
not his problem.
They're excited. Like, well, then you should talk to your record company. But they were
Well,
busy.
That he was pissed off because they were made him be John Cougar.
Probably.
He held it against
him. One of the biggest
I've heard that. Also, like,
entertainer.
Because what you don't realize about him is how many of his songs you know.
And
that's what you don't realize. How many of them are in the
understands entertainment?
Yeah.
Meaning when he goes and does a concert, you're not hearing the songs that you don't know.
No, no.
It's
he plays
only
the hits.
Yes, it should be.
Plays 20 hits, and he's got 20.
Yep.
By the way, smokes a heater the whole time.
Yes.
The whole show is smoking a heater.
All right, so you said something that I think you're right about, that I would know so many of his songs. Like, off the top of my head, like, Hurts, that's what I got for you. Like, if you used to give me John Cougar.
Oh, God, come on.
Jack and Diane.
Jack and Diane. Yep, Pink Houses.
Little Diddy.
Yeah, Pink Houses. Diane. There's so many you know.
That's what I'm saying. I know them.
You know 20.
Yes.
Probably.
You would just start knowing them.
And I'd probably start singing them all.
You probably never had, I never had like a CD or, and
no,
nothing.
Never.
But you went to, I went to the concert 20 years ago. I knew 20, I knew them all.
It was a slice of Americana.
You knew them all. Yeah.
I just think they should have gone with like Jaguar, like you did with me. Like Johnny Jaguar.
Johnny Jag.
Yeah.
I like that.
By the way.
All right, so hold on. He was number two. Who are they? Round out the top three for us.
Two and three were John Cougar and Mellencamp. Were two and three. One was the only thing we didn't get. We didn't get the number one biggest.
I think John Cougar and Jenny, I think the same person.
I just watched Rory McIlroy off the green. He's in the thick stuff. Full on swing.
He's
5 feet off, and the ball went 1 foot in the air and dropped.
Back in the muck.
Oh, roars.
Hate to see it.
Not great.
Yeah, hate to see.
He's our hope.
Gibby, who's your least favorite celebrity of all time?
No, the biggest hole of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, there aren't words. Jewel.
Can we, Jewel?
What?
Yeah. What an incredible upset.
No way.
She married Tom Murray, the rodeo king.
Hold on a second. I've only known one other person that's ever met Jewel. And it was like after college, because she was big when I was in college.
Yeah, yeah.
And like that she was like the sweetest, nicest person ever.
Maybe she had a bad day, but I'll tell you what. You go to the dentist and fix your tooth because she
Come on. Yep. You're attacking her somebody she didn't have any say over. That's awful.
She was one of the rudest, most impolite people
okay.
that I have ever, ever dealt with.
All right, let's role play. I'm Gibbe, you're Jewel. And I'm like, hi, Jewel, great to meet you. Great show. Honored to meet you.
This was before she even took the stage.
Another meet and greet with fans, with the people?
What was the scenario?
No, she canceled it. We had fans that went and didn't get to meet her.
This lady slept in a car.
Hey,
she's
you know what?
Folksy.
Sometimes karma.
She sings beautiful songs.
Really?
I was a big Jewel guy. And I had only heard good things. This is the first negative thing I ever heard about Jewel. And, I mean, it's very negative. What did she do to you personally?
You didn't do anything to me personally. But when I show up with a group of people that have won the right through the record label
to meet you and deal with you. So I believe she had a problem with her record label, too.
What if she canceled for something you don't even know about?
But then I'm in the middle of having to explain to people that have taken the day off to go meet said person
and have
these experiences. And then when you
what
went
if she was
to
having
interact
a crisis?
With her, she was the rudest, biggest
that you could have ever dealt with.
And I was like, you know what? I don't care for you. And I'm not wishing you ill will.
You're besmirching her all these years later.
I'm not wishing you good things.
Oh, no. All right. Well, on that note, better or worse, go ahead, Gibby.
Higher or Lower, presented by the Ohio Lottery. I've devoted some time on
John
a Friday, kids.
John Mellencamp and Jewel.
But at least John Mellencamp was a heck of an entertainer. By the way, Jewel's concerts sucked, too.
Well, there weren't a whole lot of it, you know.
Jewel's
she was,
great.
She opened. She was more of an opening act.
Should have been.
Yeah.
The Crud Tour. Jewel opening for John Mellencamp.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
But Mellencamp put on a hell of a show.
Yes, he did.
All right. Chris Sims, top 40 countdown. I originally thought we would break this up into groups and we would do half and half. Nah, we're getting it all in. One big meat sandwich here today. We are presented by the Ohio Lottery. It is Chris Sims' top 40 quarterbacks. Should they be higher, closer to number one, or lower, closer to number 40.
Is the person better than the person above him or worse?
Madison, hit it.
Higher or lower?
All right, away we go. Number one, Josh Allen. Number two, Patrick Mahomes. Number three is where we begin today. Justin Herbert. Los Angeles Chargers. Higher, lower, or just right? Nathan Zagura on the Chargers bandwagon. You go first.
I like how you're doing this, that we're just starting right at the top and we're going to make our way down to less important discussions of should he be 32nd or 33rd? Let's conclude with that. I like that. I like the way that you're doing this. We're just going to go right for the to start right at the top. Look, I'm a huge Herbert guy. I'm a huge Mahomes guy, huge Allen guy, huge Burrow guy. The fact is, in a one-game scenario, which is how I'm going to say, who would I want quarterbacking my team with everything else being equal? And at this juncture, I'm still going to take Tom Brady 1 and Aaron Rodgers 2.
So obviously he would be lower.
So he's going to get bumped down. Right. Like, I think Allen has Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow, all these guys, phenomenal. But we're talking about a one-game situation. Even today, and Brady, I know he's old, doesn't matter. I still think that he's probably the best quarterback from the whole package, and Rodgers is maybe is right there with me.
Bishop.
Yeah, I think he's worser, and I think if you want to do this from the standpoint of a game, he's lower than third. If you want to do it for I'm drafting a guy for this year, he's lower than third. I think if you're doing it from I'm drafting a guy for the next
career
five, he's slightly lower than third. I would have him below Burrow.
I don't know.
I would.
You,
well,
yeah,
I know
sure,
what I'm saying.
Course.
Like, yeah, I'm yeah. saying I prefer Burrow to him.
Yeah. You do know what
so
you're
I know,
saying.
Yeah, I believe opinion. I have that. Yeah. So, like, I would have – this is what Chris does, though. Like, I mean, he has Josh Allen ahead of Mahomes, and it's almost like Allen gets more credit for playing the way that they played in that playoff game than Mahomes does but for winning it.
The Bills are getting so much love
they are.
This offseason.
And I love him. He's come a long way. I don't mean to – this is not a shot at Allen. Like, if I was redrafting the league, I'd probably take Allen second. But I think Mahomes shouldn't be two on any list, in my view. Like, he should be one on every list. I just think he's different than everybody else. Herbert, I would have him lower across the board. But again, he's great. It's just the amount of talent in the AFC is just a ridiculous amount. But if it's for one game, then I would probably go Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers, and then I'd probably go Burrow if it's for one game. If it's for this season, I'd have Herbert lower too. I'd probably have him fourth or fifth.
Next.
Maybe sixth.
Higher or lower?
Number four is Joe Burrow. Number five is Aaron Rodgers. We go to the other Los Angeles team, the Rams.
Like saying,
Matthew
Angeles.
Stafford at number six. Bishop, higher, lower, or just right?
Okay, again, like this is the – what does he do this on? What's his criteria? Is this how they are coming out of the year or how they are
for
going
this
in?
Year.
Going it's ranked going year. Into this season. Okay. I think it's the sweet spot for Stafford. I think this is about right. I think he's top eight quarterback. I think there's a pretty big, you know, we'll get to our guy in a second because I don't know. They don't know what to do with him because he didn't play last year.
Our guy should be in this top.
He's in this group for sure. But I actually think this whole thing kind of stops at eight. So if you put our guy in it, it would stop at nine. I think
correct.
That's the hard cap.
Yep.
And then I think the one who's probably should be lowest of these is Russ.
Yep.
I'd probably have Russ 9.
Yep.
And then I think the rest of them are kind of just depends on the moment. I mean, Stafford went to Tampa Bay and won. He did. That happened. Went and won it. So won the Super Bowl. So, you know, I think kind of put a little respect on his name.
I don't think that makes him better than Brady, but I think
I'm not saying he's better, but he might be better than Brady right now.
Yeah.
You know, 45-year-old Brady versus 35-year-old Stafford. Stafford might be better right now. And that's not a shot at Brady, for God's sakes. Brady's 45.
Of course. I agree.
Next.
Higher or lower?
Okay, so we can all agree that Tom Brady should be higher than number
yes.
eight.
Yeah.
He's better.
All right. Number seven is Russell Wilson. Eight was Brady. Nine was Dak Prescott. It takes us to number 10, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback of the Baltimore Ratbirds. Zagura, higher, lower, or just right?
By the way, did you see him yesterday say that he wants to play his whole career in Baltimore and they're talking about a deal? Meantime,
sure
John Harbaugh is saying, well, we're willing to talk. We're just waiting on him. Like, what's the real truth, Bootsy?
Bootsy, I don't know.
What's There's going on over there?
Something odd going
on. Sort it out.
Something. Sidebar, yeah. McElroy just doubled.
He's out then.
Two.
He's done.
He's
it's
down
over.
To plus or down to minus one.
Yeah, he's out. He's going to shoot 75.
What's going on in Baltimore is as bizarre as the text I got from my dad last night complaining after the Warriors were up. They were up, 15 with 3 minutes to go? And I was like, all right, it's over. Congrats, blah, blah, blah. My dad's complaining about Clay's shooting. I'm like, he's played great D,
yeah,
first of all.
Right.
And
he's coming off of back-to-back catastrophic injuries. You don't win Game 5 without him. He hit two huge threes in Game 5. Had like 20. What do you have, 21
and
in Game
5? And the series
five?
Is
like,
over and your team is
and it's
won.
It's over. You just won the title. Like, chill out. By the way, when they were doing the bump backs and they were showing like great players in Warriors history and they were showing like Hardaway and Mullen and Rick Barry and Baron Davis. It was Baron Davis was the fourth.
Really?
And I thought, really?
No,
I
mean, Mitch Richmond?
No, it was
outrageous.
It was Tim Hardaway, Baron Davis, Rick Barry, and Chris Mullen. Like, Mitch Richmond should have been the fourth. Honestly,
yes.
Steph should have been in that,
well,
clearly.
Yeah.
And Clay probably should have been in that, clearly. But that was, I thought that was a strange, strange choice for them.
Zagura?
Yeah.
Higher
so,
lower?
Again, I'm putting Deshaun Watson into the top nine, okay? So, to me, this thing starts at 10. And I have, honestly, no problem with Lamar Jackson being number 10. He's a former MVP. He is one of the most dynamic athletes in the National Football League. He has led the highest scoring offense in the NFL. He's led the highest rushing offense in NFL history. I do think he's that good. The question is, can he beat consistently the nine guys above him? I don't know, but I do feel like he can beat the people behind him consistently, and he's almost kind of – Kyler has the potential to be there, but he's almost kind of like a one-man tier to me, whereas he'd be the next guy, but I don't know that he ever will get into that top nine consistently.
I'd have him ahead of Dak.
Right, I do too. I'm putting Watson in the top nine.
You're putting Watson in the top nine and then move Dak out. So, yeah, I think he's in the sweet spot for where he is. I just think Dak should be behind him.
Yes.
I think that's probably why this is so hard for Baltimore and for him, because he's one of the most on a week-to-week basis, he's almost impossible to game plan for. But if you're in the situation where you have to throw, can they throw you to victory when everybody knows you're throwing? And the answer to that has so far been proven to be no, not at the highest level, but damn close.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's a superstar. There's a lot of good quarterbacks.
Yep.
Let's have that conversation real quick here as a quick interlude. I mean, you're going all the way down. Like, we got Baker 17, Mac Jones 18, Jimmy Garoppolo 20. Lawrence is 24 on this
24.
List. I'm not blowing your thing up. My point here is to say, can you guys ever remember a time where there are this many good quarterbacks in the league? Because
no.
I can't.
No, it's loaded.
He's got Goff at 30. Like, Goff played
Goff's
in the Super Bowl.
Goff's going to surprise people this year.
I think Detroit's
going to surprise some people this
year. Goff hate, and yet you're going to make an exception for Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz at 19 is absurd.
No, that's
guy
absurd.
Guy stinks.
Yeah, he does stink.
I don't understand how that is allowed to,
like,
to
they
happen.
Could they hated him so much in Indy, they could not wait to get rid
Couldn't
of him.
Couldn't wait.
Same with Philly.
Yeah. Crazy.
Next.
Higher or lower?
All right. We all agreed Deshaun Watson should be higher. He comes in at number 13. Derek Carr was 11. Kyler Murray was number 12. The rest of the teens, Matt Ryan 14, Tannehill 15, 16, Kirk Cousins 17, Baker Mayfield takes us to 18, and Mac Jones of the New England Patriots. Higher, lower, or just right? Zagura, you kicked this one off.
Lower. You put Jimmy Garoppolo on that Patriots team last year, they're a better team. You put Trevor Lawrence gets drafted into that situation instead of Mac Jones, they're a way better team.
Justin Fields in that situation, they're a way better team.
Yes, so
no,
lower.
Jared Goff, a better team. No, yes, lower.
I find that ranking very surprising.
Yeah.
Next.
Same.
Higher or lower?
That takes us to number 20, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Obviously, we're going to have him a little higher than a couple people. How high are you willing to go here? Jimmy Garoppolo, Bo Bishop.
I would put him behind Matt Ryan.
I was going to say 15. That's unbelievable. I was going to say the exact same thing. He's done more. He's
accomplished
done more than Tannehill.
He's better than Tannehill. He's been better than Cousins.
Yep.
He's proven it in the postseason. Yeah, I'd have him behind Matt Ryan. I'd have him for 15.
I kind of like if you were to go, so there's the top tier, put Watson in at 9. Then I almost put Lamar Jackson in his own tier at 10. And then my next tier after that would probably be Kyler, Carr, and Prescott, those three. And that gets you. And then the next tier would be Ryan would be at the top of that tier, but Garoppolo right behind him.
With Cousins and Tannehill.
Sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then a hard cut again.
Yeah.
Next.
Higher or lower?
I'm baffled that Daniel Jones is number 21.
Hold on. This whole stretch.
This is where it
this
gets.
This stretch is
19,
borderline insanity.
18, 19, 21, 22, 23 are not better than 24.
No.
Yeah. 21 is Daniel Jones. 22, Bo's favorite quarterback, Zach Wilson. 23 is Justin Fields, who has nothing around him, so I don't know why you're putting
judge
him.
He's going to be incomplete.
Let me tell you something. If Zach Wilson is any good, they're going to be.
They should be very interesting.
Corey Davis, Garrett Wilson, and Elijah Moore, and Elijah Moore is a baller.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lawrence at 24 is the joke.
Yeah.
That's an absolute joke.
That's where I'm going.
That's a joke.
That's like saying, like, okay, you're even for this year, for certainly if you were doing a three-year window, like, everybody else, they're taking him over everybody outside of the top 10, 11, 12, 13, maybe if you got that. For Matt Ryan down, everybody's taking Trevor Lawrence on this list.
Of course.
100%. And maybe some even above Matt Ryan.
I'll tell you, it gets worse. It's even worse after this. Like, what he did to Goff is just laughable, man.
Mitch Trubisky over Goff. Mariota over Goff.
Winston, Hurts, Trubisky, Mariota, and Tua Tagovailoa all over Goff.
Hurts so good.
Come on, man. Wentz at 19. Come on, Chris. What are we even doing here, man?
Yeah. I mean, if you just look at some of these. And by the way, what does it say about Seattle's quarterback situation that their starter is number 40 on this list?
It says that they're going to draft C.J. Stroud is what it says. It says they're going to go 2-15, and they're going to play these two to make sure that they do.
Yep.
And they're going to draft number one overall, and they're going to get their pick of the quarterbacks.
Ahead
and they're
going to
flip it quickly because there's a lot. They got a lot of weapons there. It's going to be 1 year of bad for them, and they'll bounce back quickly.
I would have put Tyler Huntley ahead of some of these guys on that second list.
I mean, what he did from, honest to God, what he did from 18 to 32 is a joke. Laughable, man.
Geno Smith at 33, Sam Darnold 32, Trey Lance at 31. Any updates from Pedro on Trey Lance?
They're bullish. I was reading stuff on them this morning.
He's
love him.
More horsepower than even he knows.
Yeah, the people
all of a sudden, the lights come on. That's what he said. Everybody's saying the lights come on.
There you go. Lights are on. People are home. The Goff one's is probably the worst. Goff at 30 is really laughable. Goff behind Trubisky, Mariota, Winston, Hurts, Daniel Jones. I think that Lions team could be really frisky.
Yeah.
In the NFC North, I do.
The Bears aren't going to be good.
No, the Bears are going
to be. The Vikings.
I'm still not sure the pack is going to be everything we think it's going to be.
Yeah, no, I agree, but they'll still have Rodgers, so they'll win the division. And then the Vikings are the Vikings, and then, you know, I think they could make a run at the Vikings for second.
Yeah. By the way, the Houston Texans, like, vehemently disagree with this list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sure do.
Because they could have gotten for free Chris Sims' 17th quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I don't think
to start over his 35th quarterback, and they're like, nah.
Well, I think both them and the Seahawks and probably the Falcons all have the same idea. Like, I think all those teams are headed for the bottom, and in a good quarterback draft, we'll take pick of the litter.
Yeah.
All right. That's today's and this week's edition of Higher Lower, presented by the Ohio Lottery.
All right, good job out of you, Gibby. It's a mailbag edition of the program. Get your mailbag questions into Gibby. Hashtag AskCBD. You got one? You got a point?
Just say real quick. So what's amazing about this, you look at the top 10 quarterbacks in the league in our rankings.
Yep.
Three of them in our division. Three of them in the AFC West.
Mm-hmm.
So that means six of them in the AFC, in addition to Josh Allen, who's the lone in his. So seven of the top 10.
That's right.
And then you think about, so then it's Brady and Stafford and Rodgers are the only NFC ones.
And Wilson. Russ isn't. That's right. Not.
He's Denver.
No, those three. And then Dak would be the fourth.
Would be the fourth, but he's like in that, to us.
Yeah, to us, he's in the Kyler and him, yeah.
So seven of the top 10 in this conference, and the point I was going to make even beyond that is Brady is, as you mentioned, old.
Yeah.
Rodgers is old. Stafford is old.
That's right.
The guys in the AFC, with the exception of Russell Wilson, not old. Not any of them.
New. All haven't even reached their prime, you'd argue.
Correct.
None of them even reached their middle to late 20s. I mean, it could be this way for a very, very long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that's why go back to the Watson deal, and we're like, when we thought we were out, we're like, oh, I get it. Go to the NFC South. Be the king
AFC
down there.
An arms race. Go to
go
the
down
NFC.
There. There's nothing down there, man. Yeah, it is. It's wild. Absolutely wild. Rumpke Waste Recycling, family owned and operated. Whether you join them as a customer or employee, you'll become part of the family. Visit rumpke.com to learn more. Ask CBD coming up next on a Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Well, it's a Mailbag Friday presented by Vivid Seats, official fan experience partner of your Cleveland Browns. Browns fans, the NFL schedule is out. You can be there live for every touchdown and tackle. Check out VividSeats.com to find tickets, browse exclusive fan experience packages, and earn unbeatable rewards. Hello, Gibby.
Hello. While Washington might have the worst stadium from a radio standpoint,
yeah,
from like the whole fan experience thing, New Year's Eve in D.C. might not be the worst thing that you could do. From a travel,
we'll have to do that as we get into July. Maybe go over the opponents, do an opponent like a road scouting trip. Here's what to do, how we would do this.
Oh yeah, let's absolutely do that.
We can pick hotels,
bars.
Pick,
I'm going to be in.
Absolutely, of course. Pick the bars, pick the restaurants, pick the hotels. What we would do if you came in on a Saturday. Sites from the area.
Yes.
Between the three of us, we've been to every one of these cities and
that's
would
right.
know them probably well.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Absolutely,
we can
in.
Do that. In. Book that for July.
Yes,
write
sir.
That down.
We'll need a decent amount of content. We're going to need a few other things.
That's going to be cake. You're safe.
Save a couple of big bees, Gibbe.
You're safe. That'll be news.
Rory had a good drive. John Rahm's struggling. He got to 3-under, and now he's in trouble.
I like Gibbe's golf commentary.
Yeah, it's quite on point.
You don't know what it means. You don't know what hole.
People out there are just walking around.
That's
all that's going on.
We went
milling
out there
about
during the commercial break.
That's right.
And I was.
No one's doing anything.
There's a lot
dogs
of milling.
Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
It's almost like if they need like an authority figure to come on and say, look, you can go home.
We're well, not, they should. It's
they
fun.
Should.
We appreciate
get
the
out
effort.
Of here.
Let's
yeah.
call
it's
it.
Been
a
been
I was hoping to go home at the conclusion of this program. Not.
Why? What do you got to do?
I had gibligations earlier.
Gibligations.
I thought I had my Friday all laid out, and then all of a sudden he was like, oh, not only did I need you to stay late earlier this week and do, which I was happy to do, and do the interview with David Njoku for the BPA, a.k.a. Zagura and Friends. So I did the interview.
Yep.
Last night he's like, don't hate me, but I need you to do the whole show. So I need you to do the open and the close with me and basically the whole show.
The whole Zagura and Friends?
Yeah. So, but he said to me, hey, no worries.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be.
I had it planned out.
We'll tape this at afternoon, then we'll get some lunch and it'll
be
great.
Done.
And I was like, fine. So I got here at 11. So I was going to work
knock
out.
Knock it out.
And
yep.
then he dropped another gibligation on me last second.
Gibligation.
No.
That is not my. That come not, on. You have to admit, that is not my fault. I had everything timed out. I told you it would take 15 minutes. It took 17.
You are good about that. There are a few people who have a better understanding of time than Gibby. When he says this should take us about 15 minutes, it usually is
yeah.
about
like if
minutes.
I said something like that, it would take 30
for
tops.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I mean,
yeah,
he's
right on
minimum.
It.
Minimum.
He's right on
you're
it.
Very
yeah.
good. No, and the second gibligation was not his fault.
Yeah.
But without the pure gibligation, even with the springing gibligation, I still would have been able to get my workout in.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to work out. And then I got a big night tonight. Tonight's a big,
big,
big
night.
Big night.
What do you got? What do you got?
Huge for? Night at the Odeon. You should get the boys.
I love
I don't know
Odeon.
Why you're not there. I don't know why you're not coming.
Is it for them? Is are they?
Oh, they would enjoy it. There's no doubt. Tonight, AIW presents Gangsta Rap Made Me Do It. All night. Every match.
Sounds like something right
there's
up Bootsy's
come
alley.
Hold on. Hold on.
I'll tell you, my oldest is really into this. He's watching all this
every
stuff
match.
Now. Yeah.
No DQ. No countouts. All night Extreme Rules. Fans can bring whatever they want to see if the wrestler decides to utilize that in
that's
a match.
That's probably not for them.
We could have a balcony dive tonight from the Odeon. Last time there was a match of great importance contested under these types of stipulations at the Odeon, somebody went off the balcony. You could see that tonight. I'll be there on commentary. Huge show.
Is there
show.
Any chance you're going in the ring?
No. Huge show. Huge
I don't
show.
Know. He was calling me out when
we
taped the
people
podcast
last time,
earlier
yeah.
today saying he'd meet me at the ring.
You are you. That's because you had put gibligations on me. I would scrap with you, but I mean, you know, my guy Broner, I've been talking
yeah.
about him. He's taking on Manders. That is going to be just an absolute slugfest. Bishop, who had just won the gauntlet for the gold, which is their kind of like a Royal Rumble,
yep,
which gets him the title shot at Absolution, which is against Matt Cardona. But my buddy tore his bicep.
Right.
He's out, but there's still a pick-your-poison match. So Cardona's going to name Bishop's opponents for the evening, or opponent, I should say, for the evening in the pick-your-poison yeah. match. So you know that's going to be a good one. There's a lot of stuff. Eric Young, Wes Barkley. I think that could steal the show. Six-way scramble. The debut of Bandito and Jack Evans in AIW. So
wow.
High flyers. Yeah. It's going to be an awesome
All
show.
All right. Yeah.
Miss K is actually coming. She's going to go to the pre.
You're throwing her into that.
Hold on. Pre-show
gauntlet.
Dinner. She's going to come and watch one match. She said one or two matches, and then that's it. But she wants to see me
working. Is she safe?
Working.
The yeah, princess?
We're going to be up in the balcony. We're going
to
be in the.
You need to, like, walk in with her.
She's not going to. We'll be in.
I just picture, like,
balcony.
A Miss Elizabeth situation. And you know you can't have that. Like
I'm gonna walk in with her on my shoulder.
Yes,
yeah,
that's what I want.
In
that's
the robe. Yeah. Yeah, I should do that.
Oh,
but
there's ever an opening,
at the Odeon tonight,
if there's ever a chance for me to be like a Bobby the Brain Heenan in this, I would love to.
I'm sure there'd
and
be a chance.
And just be a complete heel. I would
start.
Love to do it.
You got to come tonight, and I'll make the introductions.
Too short.
I know the people.
Too short a notice. There will come.
You
a
have
time.
Obligations, anyways.
I know. Yeah, I got things. Things I got
to
do.
I feel like, who called for this traveling music to interrupt my story? I was in the middle of great.
Well, no. I just wanted to play it underneath you while you were going.
Oh, okay.
We're not even
so
in time
keep
for
going.
Just listen.
There
are only like, I think there
minutes.
Might be like legitimately only 5 tickets left to this event. So if you like professional wrestling, get out there. My man, Derek Dillinger.
I think you've sold it.
You got to go. I mean, I'm more excited. Yeah. I was texting with some of the guys and even the promoter. And I was like, this is the most excited I've been for an AIW show in my whole tenure with the company, and it's well founded. Like this card is stacked, and the matches are going to be, they're going to be insane. It's going to be intense. It's absolute intense. It's going to be absolutely intense.
I can't wait. There's going to come a time when I take the boys to this type of thing. The oldest one's getting close. He's getting close. He's into the WWE, the
Monday
Friday
Night Raw,
stuff. Yeah.
SmackDown.
Not sure I'm going to handle tonight.
He's apparently talking.
I know.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
That's right.
Which
threw
is,
the script out. I don't know how that could go. Who knows?
I will be DVRing it.
Is yeah. it Raw or Smack? Which one's coming here soon? Don't we have one?
I think Raw's coming in like August.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might be something I could. That
I'm
might
just
be
saying,
a, that
before
be a
school.
Sweet spot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If I could ever get tickets. I don't know if I can get tickets. Let's see.
Maybe.
Unbelievable.
It's a Mailbag Friday edition of the program.
Oh, God, Meckling's on fire.
Tweet your
He's
questions.
All over the map, though, I got to say on this one. He's a little all over the map.
Tweet your questions to @Browns_daily. Use the hashtag AskCBD. All right, first things first, Matt McComas tweets at the show, how has Isaiah Weston looked so far? Any shot of him making the team? What about the rest of the UFAs? Who has stood out, Matt in Strongsville?
Weston has great size. He's got great speed, so you can see that. I think he's a little bit raw as a route runner. Do I think that he is going to make the roster? At this point, I'd say he's in the competition, you know, trying to earn a spot. But what is more likely, as I see it from him, is this is somebody who on the practice squad you would hope with some seasoning time with a great coach like our Chad O'Shea that he can become – you know, a player in the future. So I definitely think keep an eye on him. We'll see. As I said, unique size and speed combination from Weston, certainly amongst our wide receiver room as well, as he stands at 6'4", 214, so out of Northern Iowa. Like him, give him a chance. Another guy that I would say that's caught the eye, certainly of the coaches, would be D'Anthony Bell, who is a safety out of West Florida, number 37. I know Jeff Howard has been pleased with what he's seen so far from D'Anthony Bell, giving him some work in some of the dime packages, and so they've liked that thus far.
Lance tweets at the show, @Browns_daily, using the hashtag AskCBD. What's the most embarrassing moment that happened to you during school growing up?
I remember being dumped in like the 7th grade, not in front of everybody, but everybody
yeah.
knew quickly.
Yeah.
I remember that being particularly painful. 6th grade, 7th grade, something like
yeah.
that. There was a breakup that would, you know, unfortunate. Hate to hear it.
I remember I won the spelling bee, and this guy Armando called me a nerd.
How dare he? How dare he?
I said, can you even spell that?
Kentucky Fried Christian asks, waffles or pancakes?
Waffles. Nooks, crannies.
Yeah, you'd have the nooks and crannies. If you're going to do it, what's the point? Pancakes, unless the only pancakes that I think that are worth a damn are like the Rocks banana pancakes. Like I make those for the boys, the banana coconut pancakes. Those are really good. Banana but other than that,
the
oh
bottom
my God,
line
the Rocks pancakes are unbelievable.
I would still.
They're unbelievable. The banana pancakes are unbelievable.
Waffle one. So you make a banana French toast. I prefer a French toast to a pancake. I don't
Same.
Eat this stuff ever, but pancakes are at the bottom.
They're at the bottom of the list.
Absolute bottom.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah. Richie Fox.
Mm. Richie!
At Browns_daily using the hashtag AskCBD. Where will you be hosting the show when Top Golf comes to First Energy Stadium?
When is that?
I believe it's the first week of training camp.
Oh, really?
So we will not be there.
Come on. You gotta be kidding.
Sorry,
how is
Richie.
That possible? We would be there if it, we could have done a show from there if it would have been
about a week earlier. So we
do it a week early so we could go.
Sad.
Hate to see it, Ned.
Sad.
Yeah, exactly. All right, meshling time.
Oh, God.
Let's go, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
What is your answer to the criticism that this is the worst sports show in Cleveland?
A wolf does not concern himself with the opinions of sheep.
That's right. I don't even know. I've never even heard that.
Right, because you're a lion.
That's right.
And you're not worried about it.
Yeah. Sam.
By the way, I have I've created this little sound folder.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, you, sir, are a liar.
Oh, yeah.
Strong.
Oh, yeah.
It is great.
That was good.
First celebrity crush.
I still say he was falling on that. I don't count it as a drop. No big deal. What?
First celebrity crush?
First celebrity
crush.
Didn't
we do? I feel like
Thanks
we did this. Like I said, Paul Abdul, and I stand by it.
You definitely had a crush before Paul Abdul. That was like late 80s. Like you had one.
No way.
That.
I feel like I was in like third or fourth grade.
No. I got three for you. I got Daisy Duke, Heather Locklear, Heather Thomas, the Fall Guy.
Ooh. Wow.
That's right. CBS Friday Night was big in my house.
I'm looking up when Paul Abdul was. I guarantee I was still in.
Like Forever My Girl was like late 80s. You had a crush before you were 12 or 10.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, come on. A man
of
your appetites?
When was Cindy Crawford around?
After.
Elle McPherson?
That would have been, yeah, around there, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, Zagar, do you have one or are you...
Forever Your Girl, 1987. I was 9 years old. Why not?
Feels like you would have had a crush at like six, A Man of Your Appetite.
All right.
I know, but I don't remember.
Left.
What do I remember from being six?
I don't even know where this.
What do I remember from me? What do you remember about being six? All I remember was.
Daisy Duke.
You know what I remembered? Setting the Bay Area record in the 25-yard freestyle. That's what I remember at the age of six.
60 seconds.
Yeah.
The question of the
day. No, it was like
18
seconds.
All right,
it was like 18 seconds.
Segura, who is better betwixt Montana and George?
Oh, baby.
Come on.
Listen, I mean, the answer is clearly Joe, Montana. But Jeff George has the best arm in the history of the world. Prove me wrong.
So much more.
I don't know. Like, David really got Goliath. It's a hell of an arm.
It cracked his Achilles heel.
Different. So much more to come. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Oh, man, what a week.
It is crazy. And, you know, Father's Day coming up. Happy Father's Day to you.
And you and to Gibbe.
And to Gibbe, Peepaw. So I've gotten to the point in my life where it's like I just pick out my own Father's Day gift and I'm fine.
And you're fine.
I get exactly what I want.
I'm just saying, could be. It was. I give you this.
I was going to
get. I'll give it
to
you. It would have been a great way, but at the same time,
it's going to be my walk off.
Yeah.
Now I have nothing.
Yeah. No, we don't. You never know. You never know who's listening.
You silence.
You never know. Could be out. I knew where you were going right away. You never know.
I'm in trouble.
You never know. What's your, give me your number, U.S. Open, final number. What is it?
7.
6. I'm going 5. The way
I'll take 6. Then. By the way, it'll be right around there.
Dangerous Phil plus 11.
Out. Yeah. And out.
Got
see
Father's
on down
Day
the road.
Off.
Yeah, that'll work. Have a great weekend. Happy Father's Day to all of you out there celebrating.
Yes.
The next level is coming up next. We're back Tuesday. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.